But right now, we are joined by Steve Wiltfong. He's our good friend from 24/7 Sports. He is the national recruiting analyst and insider, and he always brings great information to the table. And as always, he's bringing a lot of heat to the 574. What are you laughing about? I say that every time because he does. He brings the heat every time. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Love being on in South Bend. I may have to call back in an hour for that Cubs segment. The memories of a job well done. I went to game two, saw Arrieta labor through six no-hit innings, and they get their first World Series win in like 100 years.
Are you tearing up? I know you're sniffing right now.
Nah, I'm battling a cold, guys. I'm playing hurt today.
Look at you. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate your time because a lot of good things have happened with Notre Dame football recruiting since we last talked to you around National Signing Day number two, I guess, for the class of 2018. Let's start with some recent information, Steve. You guys were kind of all over this. Nana Usafo-Mensah, a four-star weak side defensive end from the state of Texas. The Longhorns and Tom Herman put on a big-time push at the end of the recruiting cycle. Some big-time other programs love this guy, but ultimately, he picked Notre Dame. And, Steve, when you think about the recent history of Notre Dame trying to gain pass rushers, how important was this get, and what are your impressions of Usafo-Mensah?
Well, I think it's a huge get, going to play the drop position, the same position as Daylon Hayes in the Notre Dame defense. And when you look at Notre Dame's roster, it's really going to turn over on the defensive line. So for them to go out and land four 24/7 Sports composite four stars in this class so far, and they want to add one more pass rusher before it's all said and done in this group. But to get this kid out of Texas, Nana, who goes to a Catholic school, these are the kind of guys that Notre Dame has to get to compete for a national championship. Texas was all in amongst other programs, but it was tailor-made recruiting battle for Notre Dame to win. Family went to Stanford, dad went to Stanford, but these are battles that we've seen Notre Dame lose before. But I really love the way they're recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. I think they have a good chemistry with Clark Lee and Todd Light and Coach Joseph and Mike Elston. I think they really have a good thing going. You saw them close strong that 2018 class, and Notre Dame's up to number eight in the 24/7 Sports recruiting rankings with Nana in the fold, who I think is one of the most important gets that Notre Dame's had over the last couple years, right there alongside Shane Simon, who I think is going to start. I'm still money down on Shane Simon starting at Rover this year. And then Myron Tagovailoa, Amosa. I think those three guys are difference makers on the team competing for a title.
Ooh. Wow. That was a mouthful, Steve.
He brings the heat.
Yeah, he did bring the heat on that one. I want to follow up on a question that I have, my own question. The one is, you said it was kind of tailor-made for Notre Dame, but you said the dad went to Stanford. Wouldn't that make it tailor-made for Stanford? And then my real question is, how does this kid compare to somebody like Aaron Lynch?
Ooh. Well, Notre Dame should beat Stanford for touted football players,
okay,
in my opinion.
I like that because it seems like a lot of analysts feel
they
like
haven't been, but
yeah,
they
say they feel like, oh, once Stanford offers, they're going to take Notre Dame's lunch money.
And you know, this corner out of Alexandria Episcopal, who Notre Dame had offered and looked to be in the driver's seat, Salim Turner Muhammad. It did go that way for Stanford. Notre Dame was in a great spot, battling Michigan, and then Stanford offered, and he went there. But Notre Dame is a place that has way more football tradition and a much better football atmosphere on Saturdays. And at the end of it, these young men certainly cherish the opportunity to get a great education. And for some of these kids, the perception is that Stanford is a better education. But Notre Dame, I think sometimes they don't do as good a job of selling their strengths when recruiting against Stanford, and so it doesn't go their way. But when I sit down and say, hey, I think Notre Dame has more of a recruiting prowess than Stanford. And here, Nana Usafo, he actually didn't have a Stanford offer, but I'm just saying he's the type of kid that goes to a Catholic school in Texas that's a blue chip recruit. Those are the kids Notre Dame should be hitting on. A kid at DeMatha in Hyattsville, those places should be Notre Dame offers. Those are places where those kids should be Notre Dame leans based on Notre Dame recruiting them right and well.
Okay, and then just following up on the Lynch comment.
Aaron Lynch was a terrific talent that unfortunately just couldn't put it together mentally in college football. He was a first-round caliber talent that still got drafted because of his talent.
Right.
So I don't know if he's that good, and that was – this Notre Dame defensive line class is really good, but it's still, in my opinion, not as good as the Stephon Tuitt, Lewis Nix, Aaron Lynch run that they had with some of those other guys. But I think right now you have one of Notre Dame's best defensive staffs. Obviously, Coach Elko's gone, and there'll be a question mark on Clark Lea as a play caller because he's never done it. But just from a straight installing the scheme and getting guys to understand what their responsibilities are, I think you're really excited about this Notre Dame staff, which then makes you even more excited about the way they've recruited the last couple years.
When you look at the fact that there's 7 of the 10 commits in this class are defensive players, and there looks like there's some pretty good prospects to add really good defensive players to this class, where is Clark Lea in all this?
Well, he's been very instrumental. You take Noah Boykin down the stretch, Terry Joseph and Todd Light did a great job of landing the 4-star corner who at one point was considered a Florida lean very late. Terry Joseph and Todd Light did a great job, but Clark Lea, the defensive coordinator, he's right there in the fire with those guys. And I think with all their top targets, he's right there in the mix. Mike Elko finished in the top 10 of the 24/7 sports recruiter rankings last year. And was very involved in Notre Dame's top targets, and I think Clark, as his understudy, sees, hey, this is what I got to do. Recruiting is part of the equation, and for some coaches, recruiting is a necessary evil. Where for a guy like Clark Lea, he embraces recruiting because he knows it's important. Because better players means more talent on the field, and you're not having the maximum. Some coaches are happy with maximizing their talent and winning 8 games. Notre Dame's trying to win 13 or 14,
Steve Wilfong is our guest, national recruiting insider for 247sports.com. And, Steve, we've been talking about this defensive line 2019 group. We've talked about Usafo Mensah. There's also Hunter Spears, the defensive end, and Jacob Lacey, the nose tackle, and Howard Cross, the strong side defensive end. Just for the sake of conversation, if you had all 4 of these guys ready to go and you needed them to start, which of these guys do you feel like is the most ready to put right into the starting lineup? Is there a guy that you feel like if they needed them to play right away, they could?
Well, I think Nana and Jacob Lacey will be guys that they could count on in year one. And Hunter Spears, jury's still out because obviously he missed his junior season with an injury after really showing that he was a national caliber kid as a sophomore. Howard Cross is a little undersized, but we'll see how he develops physically, but he's certainly shown versatility on the prep level. But Nana, he's a unique talent. And then Jacob Lacey, he's such a fundamentally sound player, so terrific with his hands. His quickness off the snap is off the charts, and he's a bowling ball with butcher knives is what one source described him as.
Wow.
Steve, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball, and there's been a lot of debate people in your industry and in our, our sports writers and so forth, people on the beat about running back recruiting and whether Autry Denson is getting it done as a recruiter of running backs specifically, not overall talent, but running backs. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on what we're seeing from Autry Denson in recruiting running backs.
So he was the lead recruiter for Tony Jones Jr., right? Or was there a transition there and they both Alfred and Denson get credit? I don't remember, but I'll just give him the Denson. So Tony Jones Jr. has got a pretty good chance to be Notre Dame's starting tailback, right? So he's recruited the starter. How good do we think the starter is? At Notre Dame, you figure your running back should be NFL caliber. If Tony Jones NFL caliber, I'll let you guys decide. And then beyond that, who do you point to that you are comfortable giving the ball to that you think can really be a feature back at Notre Dame that Autry Denson has recruited? And Deion McIntosh is no longer on the roster, right?
Right.
All right, so who else? So he recruited Jameer Smith this year and Sebo Flemister. Those guys are true freshmen. So maybe those guys are great. You know, we don't know, but where their recruiting ranking stands says otherwise, but that doesn't matter. You know, we'll see what they do in a Notre Dame uniform. So I think if Autry Denson doesn't hit on Sebo Flemister or Jameer Smith, I really think you have to say that we haven't evaluated or recruited well at the position. Did I leave any guys out?
Well, Dexter wasn't his, and that was Tony Alford. Tony left
Alford
right at the end. And then, the other two guys that played some running back this spring, Steve, were guys that weren't recruited as running backs. Jafar Armstrong was recruited as a wide receiver. He was a hybrid player. And Avery Davis is a hybrid player. He was recruited as a quarterback.
So what does that tell you about what they think of their other backs?
Right. And then C.J. Holmes, who got into trouble, was Autry's other one. But
he's gone.
Yeah, but you may ding him for having two guys that aren't on the roster. But I'm just curious.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. If he doesn't have NFL talent or difference makers in college at the position at a place like Notre Dame, year after year. I mean, Notre Dame, it's kind of a scary-looking depth chart right now if Sebo and Jameer Smith aren't hits, right?
Right.
Like, I think Dexter's talented, but it's obvious that the coaching staff is not – they're not playing him. They don't have packages for him. So they want to win games. So it's obvious that I think it's on them to find a way to use their best players. But for whatever reason, Dexter's not playing. We've heard Brian Kelly be complimentary of Tony Jones Jr., but those guys, if they don't have a difference maker at running back, that's 100% on Autry.
Steve Wilfong,
he failed.
All right. Steve Wilfong, 24/7 Sports, national recruiting analyst, staying on the offensive side of the ball. Steve, college football world had so many great things to say about Harry Hiestand leaving Notre Dame for the Chicago Bears. So the new offensive line coach and internal hire in Jeff Quinn, based on the way Jeff helped wrap up the 18 cycle and what he's accomplished so far this year, how would you describe the transition from a recruiting standpoint?
Well, I think from a recruiting standpoint, there hasn't been much drop-off. And I know Harry Hiestand was noted as a sniper on the recruiting trail. I even called him that, but that's a position where Notre Dame really recruits itself. A lot of offensive linemen are high academic kids that are going to be interested in Notre Dame, regardless if it's you, me, Eric, or Jeff Quinn or Harry Hiestand recruiting them. And Notre Dame, they have a really good offensive line class committed right now. We talked about defense, but they've landed three of their top targets on the offensive line, and I think they have a good shot of landing top 247 offensive lineman Zeke Correll, who's as touted an offensive lineman as there is in the country out of Ohio. I think he's going to end up being the fourth guy in the class. So the question with Jeff, you heard Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey and those guys talk about Harry Hiestand is just how detail-oriented he is about the position. So we'll see. We'll see if that translates for them on Saturdays this fall. But from a recruiting standpoint, Notre Dame's recruiting offensive linemen well right now.
Steve, I'm curious your thoughts about where Brian Polian is as a recruiting coordinator, and do you like the fact that he's dipping back into Hawaii?
Well, I just like Brian Polian recruiting anywhere if I'm Notre Dame because he brings so much energy, and he obviously is passionate about the school and believes. So some people, they work at a school, and they're recruiting because the logo's on their chest, and it's the same shtick, but they just go to a different school, and they just change the name of the school. Where I actually genuinely believe that Brian Polian loves Notre Dame so much and thinks it's the best school out there that he just brings a different level to recruiting to that logo. I mean, he would send his kids to Notre Dame, I would think, if that opportunity arises. He loves Notre Dame so much, so when he goes on the trail, I think it shows, and he's obviously one of Notre Dame's best recruiters. And I've had another college staff say, in the past that there aren't many guys on the Notre Dame staff that they, you know they have to work going up against. And this is a couple, but Brian Polian is one that they know they got their work cut out for him if he's also in the game recruiting.
Steve, I don't know how much work you've done on this kid. Let me ask you about him. He's the 2020 commit right now. It's a quarterback, Drew Pine, out of Connecticut. Have you had a chance to look at him at all?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he looks good on tape and has been productive and been a name we've known for a while. A little skinny guy, so we'll see how he continues to develop physically, where Ian Book and those guys are of a thicker build. You never know with quarterback who's got it, who's going to understand where what the offense asks of them, where to set up the protections, where to go with the football quickly, all those mental things that make you good at the position. He's got the traits to throw the football, and it's a nice early pickup for Notre Dame, especially at that position because they can recruit around him.
Steve, a question I get a lot in my chats is this. They say Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State really seem to have it going on in recruiting. Can Notre Dame compete without upgrading their recruiting? How far are they in terms of the talent that those three schools are consistently getting and what Notre Dame's consistently getting?
Well, I think Notre Dame was in the playoff discussion last year. I don't know if they would have had the juice to win it, but it's not like they're far. And I think Notre Dame is capable of fielding a playoff team every year, but there's not much room for error in my opinion, because you bring up Ohio State and you bring up those three. Alabama, they have the clout of the NFL draft and they have the clout of the success on Saturdays with the titles, four titles in the last 7 years or something, that Nick Saban doesn't have to be an everyday grinder on the trail. Urban Meyer and Dabo Sweeney work as hard at it as anybody, and so they have a great shot of landing a lot of their top targets. But with Notre Dame, I think that they still have to eval a little differently than Clemson and Ohio State, because sometimes they're just not in the mix for that uber-talented kid that's got 35 offers. So they have to go find that next recruit that may have the same ceiling that's just not as touted, because I think that they're not getting the same production from their head coach on the recruiting trail.
Steve, who are maybe two or three names that are at the top of Notre Dame's recruiting board that you think they have a good chance to reel in?
Well, going back to defense, linebacker is a very important position for the Irish in this cycle, as they try and replenish depth and get some guys that they can count on beyond the starters. And Nick Henrich is a top 100 recruit in the 24/7 Sports Player rankings. And then Osita out of North Carolina. Those are guys that they covet at Notre Dame. You asked about Clark Lee earlier. He's doing a tremendous job with those guys. I really like Notre Dame for those guys. And then Jack Kaiser is from a small school here in Indiana, but athletically he can play anywhere, in my opinion. He's the type of guy that, we were referencing who Alabama and Clemson are recruiting. There's still enough good players out there for Notre Dame and their style on the trail. I think Jack Kaiser is the type of kid that all-state in track, or all-state in the shot put in discus as a sophomore, and he's a linebacker prospect that also plays quarterback, that ran faster in the 60-meter dash than Johnny Adams, the running back who signed with Cal. So he's interesting athletically. I think Notre Dame's going to land all three of those guys at backer. And then you combine that class defensively with what Notre Dame recruited the year before, led by Shane Simon, and I really think that Notre Dame has a chance to be dominant on defense instead of just being a unit that gets off the field and, wins on third down.
Shane Simon's interesting, and I kind of pursued him because of your endorsement of him, but he was an interesting feature, played wide receiver for St. Peter's Prep, had a heart condition when he was a little kid, had life saving surgery, has a little brother that seems to be pretty good. Beyond Shane Simon, who in this class do you expect to make a splash in the fall of 2018?
Oh man, I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay. Do you want me to give you throw a few at you?
Houston Griffith. Start naming some names. I apologize.
Okay. No. I threw you a curveball.
Like, I think they
How about Derek Allen?
Corners on the field. So I don't know about Derek.
Okay.
But I think that those corners have it. Like Noah Boykin's going to bring a competitiveness to the room. I think he'll have a chance to get in there and mix it up with some of those guys as a true freshman and give them something. That corner. Who else do we got on there?
Houston Griffith.
I don't know yet. I'm not ready to stand on the table for him. Not saying he won't. Just
how about Justin or Jason Adamoola?
Yeah, I think, you know, the defensive line, I think that's a place where he could get a few snaps for them early. And they'll want to play him because when they turn over that roster, they need guys that are going to be experienced that are ready to go.
How about Lindsey and Austin at wide receiver?
So Lindsey's obviously very fast. He'll be one of the fastest players on the team when he walks in. And Kevin Austin's also a talented guy. So that really dominated in all levels of the field as a receiver in Florida. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if either of those guys cracked the rotation. But I felt like, and maybe Jafar Armstrong's in the backfield now, maybe that's a C.J. Procise-type conversion deal that Notre Dame was able to manufacture before. Now, I never worry about Notre Dame on offense with Brian Kelly. I think they always have a good plan in place, just sometimes it's not executed well by the players. But I think that Jafar Armstrong and Michael Young and some of those guys last year were guys that the staff was excited about. So it'll be interesting to see where these freshmen compare to those guys.
A couple more positions. Phil Dracovic.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Especially because I think Notre Dame, you got Ian Book and Brandon Wimp. You already have two capable guys, and I think Wimbush needs some polishing up before he'll be ready to be consistent in college. But, man, he's got some upside.
Last position group, Bauer or Lamb? Who do you like there or both of them eventually?
Well, I like Lamb better. I think Bauer's physical and really good downhill. I think Lamb's a better athlete. So I think Lamb's the guy to keep an eye on, especially at that position where they're thin. I could see Lamb being a guy that they count on early. They're moving Drew Tranquil to linebacker, which tells you what they think of the other guys. And so that's why I'm so fired up about Shane Simon. And then I think they'll find a role for Az. They'll be crafty and creative, but with the way they're recruiting, they'll be able to be less creative and more attacking, I think, in a couple years with the talent that they've upgraded with.
Steve, tell us about the five-star efforts of the 24/7 Sports Crew. What should people expect when they go there?
Oh, man. I just think that I just think we do.
Don't be humble.
College football recruiting, and the Notre Dame fans can catch us at notredame.247sports.com. That's Irish Illustrated with Pete Sampson, Tim Priester, Tom Loy, Jack Freeman, and Kevin Sinclair. So
and Tim O'Malley.
And Tim O'Malley. Thank you. And Tim O'Malley. So, yeah, it's a good team, and it's a deep team.
You bet. Hey, you didn't disappoint. You brought the heat as always.
Thanks, guys. Did we talk enough about Shane Simon?
Well, I tell you what. I remember 2 years ago, you were the one that downplayed Darnell Yule and his impact with the program. You thought it was going to take a while, and you were exactly right. You were the one guy beating the drums. So if you love Shane Simon, I'm all in on Shane Simon.
Simon says.
Yeah, take care, guys.
All right, take care, Steve. Thank you so much.